I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm a little bit upset about the Indians not making the postseason. They could win about 95 games this year. I'm absolutely upset. I compare this to the 2005 season, where the Indians went to Chicago. They lost three straight. They didn't make the postseason. They finished in second place in the AL Central, which they already were going to finish in second place in the AL Central, at 93-69. And I go back to 2005 and look over the entire Major League season, because this is the difference. One team finished with over 100 losses. That's the Kansas City Royals. Right now, you'll have four teams finish with over 100 losses in Major League Baseball. Four teams, over 100 losses. You have another four teams that are not trying. Blue Jays, Mariners, Chicago, I think, is trying. The Pittsburgh Pirates are not trying anymore. The Colorado Rockies are not trying.
Oh, by the way,
they haven't been trying. What I mean by not also, trying anymore, they haven't been trying.
Kenny, there are teams like the White Sox are, you know, they're playing a lot of younger guys, and they expect to be much better next year. But as you look at the lineups a lot of these teams formulate over the last month of the year after call-ups, I mean, come on. They're just playing kids. And sometimes that can be good, but they're just playing kids. They're not really trying to compete.
So I look back at this season where they're not technically out of it yet.
No, we have to make that clear, by
the way. They're not out of it yet. So there is still alive, but they are on life support right now. Where did things go wrong for this team? 216-578-0092 for this Indians team. We'll get to the Browns coming up at around 7:30 because I think I found a way to get a moral victory. I know, don't kill me, but we might do that. Where did it go wrong for the Indians? I think there's two answers to this, but you go
well,
right
I'm going to start by obviously digging themselves a hole. Not part of that's the Twins, but they dug themselves in such a hole and expended so much energy. They had to peak. They had to peak early just to get back in contention in the division. They always say, oh, don't peak too early. And that's like a talking point by radio idiots. Oh, they peak too early. What does that even mean? You know, you can play well at different times this season. But in this case, them
sounds like a personal problem.
Them peaking too early. God, I hate when that happens. In this case, them peaking very early, they had to play elite-level baseball. Guys, people, maybe you don't forget, but I was going to say people forget. The Indians played better than anybody else in the bigs for almost two full months. They had the best record in baseball for almost 2 months. That's incredible given this team, given the lineups they had to trot out there, given the loss, the attrition when it comes to the rotation. And then you knew the bullpen was going to come back to the pack at some point, and unfortunately it did at a really rough time. That Labor Day weekend series, having Brad Hand just, you know, self-destruct was not good, and then everybody else also self-destructed. But I go back to what they had to do to get back in this thing. They were never going to be able to continue at that rate. No team would be, and they certainly weren't the team to do it. And I think digging themselves in that hole in April, in May, with those lineups they put out there, with not having Lindor for the first month of the season, I think that's what eventually lost them. I know they got back into it, and they led by half a game at one point at the end of summer. But that, to me, is where they lost it.
216-578-0092. I think there's two answers, or I think there's two sets. I think one for the fans is something that I'm going to let a fan bring up because I know the fans are going to bring it up. I guarantee that's going to happen, and I think you're going to be a little bit upset with it, but we can go over that when that happens. The other one, I think for the team itself, the injuries are going to get in the way of everybody. That means you have to build the team to begin with because you know that the injuries are going to get in the way. They took on a lot of water, and they took on a lot of water at the wrong times. Clevinger going down at the beginning, and then obviously with what happened with Carlos Carrasco, which nobody was able to foresee. Brad Hand falling apart as the season went on. There was obviously what happened with Jose Ramirez, which was just a killer. And then, you know, I got to give credit where it's due or blame in this case where it's due, but it's not on Jason himself. It's that, man, he was such a great leader. He's so good in the clubhouse. And then you had to take that away. Because it's one thing to give rah-rah speeches, but you have to go out there and perform. And Jason was able to perform to a degree here this year. He wasn't killing it. He wasn't back to all-star form. I'm not pointing that out. But I thought that he became a good, solid piece here for this season. And with what he does in the clubhouse, I don't think Jason Kipnis is ever going to be in my top 25 favorite Cleveland Indians. I'll just come out and admit it. But I think he's one of my most respected Cleveland Indians because of it. I think that was part of the killer. to lose that, and then you have to go, you have to dig again. And when we looked at Oscar Mercado, when you were going through some of the doldrums there last month and some people were looking at Oscar Mercado, I can't ask of leadership on the field yet of Oscar Mercado. I can ask for glimpses, but I can't ask for a guy to dig us out of a hole. Santana was fantastic this year, all year long, basically. He could help you. I know last night defensive, or 2 nights ago defensively, was terrible. But altogether, I thought he was pretty damn good all season this year and was a rightful all-star.
They would have had no shot without him.
But you're exactly right about that. But the stuff with Mercado and the young ones, I think that that's it. I think we're going to have a plethora of answers here. But I think I know, to the fans, I think I know where that's going to go wrong. Let me get to Alan Euclid. You're first up in the Fan.
Morning, Ken. If you look over Terry Francona's tenure as Indians manager, almost every year we go into the season with expectations, and every year they underperform in April and May. They're always 500 under April and May. Terry Francona does not know how to prepare his team in spring training for the start of the season.
Doesn't play the starters in preseason games.
Wow. Al, I did not know I was going to get that to start things off. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, but doesn't Tito get credit all the time for how his teams perform in the second half of the season and that almost on cue they always get better and evolve over time?
They're a second half team. Coming up next, why Tito Francona and Freddie Kitchens are the same. 216-578-0090. I'm kidding.
Is the implication that it's just easy to get guys to play well every single month? Obviously, that's
well,
not...
The expectations are different. If you plan on making the postseason now, you need to basically...
Well, no, that's true.
I know you got to try to win every game, so that's a stupid statement to say, but basically it makes every single loss that much bigger in the grand scheme. Because now look at this. You're going to have to win... There's going to be the haves and have-nots if this happens. You're going to have to win nearly 100 baseball games every year. 90-plus wins was an incredible season before. Now, the times, they have changed. Eric in Ohio City, you're next up in the Fan.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, Eric.
I look back at the offseason and coming into this year, what were my biggest concerns? The outfield and the bullpen. And guess what? At the end of the day, those are the two that bit us. And over the course of a long season, you're going to get injuries. But you know what? When you have look at the rotation. You have a great rotation to begin with. If you get a hit with an injury or two, you still have some depth because you have that depth at the major league level. When you're trotting out Max Moroff and I don't even remember who was on that opening day
Eric
lineup,
Stamets,
in the outfield.
Brad Miller.
You know,
well, they weren't playing Brad Miller. That was the problem.
Yeah, that was the problem.
When those are the guys you're starting with, you're not going to be able to, you know, absorb any injuries, especially with the bullpen and so forth. I know it wasn't as much injuries, but you got cheap and you didn't spend, you didn't shore up those two areas to even start the year. And guess what? Those are the two that ended up beating you, I think, worse than anything else going forward. And you slept on the Twins. You can't do that. You gotta go in or you're out.
Eric, thank you very much for the call.
And we got some tweets. Are you guys going to give credit to the Twins at all? I don't know that we need to. I mean, they're winning the division. They're up by 6 games now. They could win this thing
gave
by
them
8
credit.
Or 9.
They gave them the AL Central. They won the AL Central. That's the credit they get. They get the hard
work. Yeah, I mean, obviously we're focused on what the Indians could have done or where it went wrong for the Indians. If we were doing a show about how happy are you for the Twins, 216-578-0092.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
But yeah. Did anybody think they were going to be the offensive juggernaut that they were, the Twins?
They had a lot of home runs.
Because we came into the season going, well, the Indians are good. They're going to win. And they were good. It's just the Twins were better.
I figured the Twins might be good. I figured the Twins would fade. And they never really did.
Yeah, but that point where we all thought in June, well, they'll hit the swoon and we're good.
But they won the division. I know you watch Mad Men. It's like Peggy Olson. Give me credit. That's what the money's for. Like, that's what the division championship is for. Yeah.
Put the work in, Peg.
I don't need to give them more credit. The league gave them credit. Matt and Perry, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
I hated her.
Hey, I feel like I'm just beating a dead horse, but it's got to be 100% Paul Dolan. Just based on the offseason, the fact that we put Tito in the position where he has to trot out Moroff, Stamets, and Brad Miller, who apparently thought he was like one of the top 100 players of all time in baseball when the Indians put him on DFA or whatever it was. Like, it's despicable that I feel like we go through this every 5 years, and there's no way we're going to re-sign Lindor. And it just the fact that I feel like everything he said over the offseason, especially before the season started, I'm just sick of every single time this comes around. acting like Paul Dolan's wallet has a case of syphilis.
Oh, damn it, Matt.
Well, now I feel better about it.
Now that was good. That's an 8.
What do you mean?
Syphilis.
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 21 cases of syphilis.
Syphilis!
I said I have syphilis!
Oh, my God, Hannah.
We used to have it where there was like one guy and you could tell he was building up to it. Now there's like 18 different guys and they just rope you right in. So now I can't even give that the credence, but he did hit on the very first part. I think there's two answers. I think for the team, there's legitimate, good answers that you gave and a couple of people gave. But I think to a lot of fans, this has been a fight between the same fan base with two sides of Indians fans that started back during the wintertime. 216-578-0092. Where did it all go wrong for the Tribe this year? Even though they're not dead yet, they are on life support. And also, I found a way for possibly, hopefully it doesn't come to this, a moral victory Monday. 216-578-0092. Where did it all go wrong for the Indians? Also, where I can find a moral victory for the Browns coming up a little bit later on. Where did it go wrong for the Indians? A lot of responses coming in, a lot of answers coming in. I think there are two different answers. I think there's one answer with the team itself, and I think there's, and I think that that is endless. You could say whatever. Now, the Indians technically aren't dead yet. They're on life support, but there's a lot of permutations that need to happen. So if you feel that this is the it, is if this is it, where did it go wrong? I think there's a bunch of different answers. For me, Jose Ramirez's injury killed him. The series with the Mets was just an abomination of everything. And they still found ways to try to battle back. But I thought that the injury with Jose Ramirez and with Jason Kipnis, I thought that that one hurt the most. Because Jose's fun. Jason Kipnis is a real leader on that baseball team. I think that really hurt. I think for the fans, I think this goes back to the winner. You have had a 9-month fight, and I'm going to end up throwing our buddy under the bus, and I don't really mean to. I think one of our afternoon show hosts personified that fight last night. Personified it. Because it became very personal and very ugly online between Indians fans. And you know this. When the article came out that said enjoy him, and people were upset, and we had to hear those calls, and those calls were rightfully upset when they read it because the written words differ from the spoken word. And then later on in the season, our buddy in the afternoon's a little bit upset, says it's over, and another TV host out here in Cleveland writes, oops. And last night, it got very personal between people where there were people who were angry at this team all season long and didn't know why people would stand by, idly by, and be Indians fans and quote-unquote put their heads in the sand. There were the other people who goes, you just can't sit there and blame the owner every single time. Where they've been a model franchise for some. They have been. So now you have a fight between Indians fans. Either way, it's not good. So I think that this goes back between fans back to that day before the season started.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the energy to sit there and just debate people about fandom or what I'm supposed to think about, you know, ownership every day. I know that this Indians team, the team they put on the field, while obviously not anywhere near the type of talent that, at least in terms of big name or big money, not anywhere near the talent that the better teams in this league were able to put up, although the Yankees had more injuries than we did somehow, but obviously they were able to overcome it. They had some young players step up, but obviously their margin for error is not what ours is. Ours is always going to be a tougher road. It's always going to be tougher. I don't know what to tell people. That's why, honestly, that's why the Cavs winning the championship felt so darn good, because Cleveland, it's never going to be easy for these teams here. It just isn't, for obvious reasons. So I have to say I don't have the energy to expend every day to talk about the Dolans when they had a Labor Day series where they laid an egg. The players on the field laid an egg. They had the last two games against the White Sox. We had way more talent than the White Sox, did we not, the last 2 days?
Yeah.
And we got pounded. Yeah. They had the opportunities.
Well, the game where I finally ripped my hair out because Bull screamed at me on that day where I said the Indian season wasn't over, and they went out and they lost, summarily lost, to the White Sox when they were on the road in June. You remember that one. And then they came back from 11.5 down, and it seemed like they were really going to go after this division. And then, as naturally happens, guys get hurt. It takes a huge toll. I thought you were right less than 20 minutes ago when you said, man, the toll it takes to come back
is
just going to be so much. And it was. And I don't know if you really had the gas for the end run where you could kick and make it to the postseason, because you had to come from all the way back like that, from the dead. Jason and Shaker, you're first up in the Fan.
Well, I have an opinion on what, like, a reliever's jab description, Brad Hand. I mean, I don't want to put him on the pedestal for being the guy that takes the fall, but, you know, you peak in the middle of the season and you save, what, 30 games before the All-Star break? And he showed signs of issues at the All-Star game. Why doesn't somebody pull him out or talk to him? What's going on, Brad?
At the All-Star game?
They did a little bit later on. They gave him time off a little bit later on because we didn't know if it was an arm issue or it was just a head issue. They said dead arm.
The first series against the Royals, what does he do? He blows two saves. I don't know. Statistically, that doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, right, but you're not going to fold. We had these discussions. You're not going to pull the closer after two bad outings.
Well, how many blown saves did Brad have the entire season?
I think he had five.
He had five. All right. Well, they did lose more than five games. I can't put some on Brad Hand. He's the closer, so anytime a closer, and thank you for the call, Jason.
The whole bullpen started to come back to pack.
Yeah, I know, but anytime a closer doesn't close, it's like, well, that's your job is to close the game out. It's a zero-sum game. You either close it or you don't. So for that, I mean, there's a little bit of blame, obviously, there, but they lost 61 more games, so there's other reasons why they lost those games. Andy Medina, you're next up on the Fan.
Here's my problem.
I think you said it all with the first comment.
Well, no, I can't believe we're having this discussion. I have to find someone to blame for winning 95 games this year. And listen, I get it. We're all frustrated. We can all point to different things, and people are going to look at the ownership in the offseason. But tell me, because it has a ripple effect. Now, I would have kept Brantley, but maybe Mercado doesn't get as many innings, and he doesn't play as much, and he doesn't develop. And maybe we don't see as much out of Naquin, and unfortunately he got injured. So and would Brantley put us in the World Series? Probably not. Do we get the Reyes trade and the Puig trade as a result of that? Probably not. I don't know. I mean, so we can go back and forth. I'm just saying this is one of the top five most well-run professional sports teams in all of sports. I firmly believe that. Do I want the Dolans to spend more? Sure. But I'm not going to blame someone or point to Tito when he's throwing out a junk lineup in April as he's the fault not having his team prepared. Yeah. We're winning 95 games. We're in the thick of it. You guys are acting like it's over. Toronto's going to win two of those games against Tampa. I got a feeling it's going to happen. And we need to go.
All right.
There
if they win them, you can call in and do Champions Post.
I will call in, Ken, because this is bogus conversation the day after we lose 8-0, but we've got three games left, and we're alive. We're alive.
You're on life support.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, even...
Oh, Andy, hung up. What are you doing?
For them to have to do this... Yeah, I hate to, you know, splash water.
The times are changing, man.
I get having optimism.
All right, but
look at what these teams are doing down the stretch. Look at what the Rays record is. Look at the Brewers. Look at all these teams that need to win down the stretch are just winning every game.
They're winning down the stretch.
And, by the way, the Rays had a schedule against the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees. They mopped through them.
They mopped right on through them. I was upset.
But they're going to lose to Toronto?
I was upset in the final series when you're playing on the road against a National League team, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. But you're losing against a 70-win team that came in as a 68-win team. I can't. What else are you supposed to say? You're upset about that. You can't help but be upset when you're losing to a 70-win baseball team at the moment you absolutely need to win. You just need to win it. So there's no other recourse I can have. And overall, if this were 2005, like it was, and I said, hey, you're fine. You know, you won 93 games. I'm really happy with this team. The history of it says that that's great. But right now, where I have eight teams that almost a third of your league that isn't trying to win organizationally, the players are trying to win, the managers are trying to win, obviously, organizationally are not trying to win. And we have more teams that are over 100 wins than we've really ever had before or approaching 100 wins than we've ever had before. What does 95, if they finish 2 out of 3 against the Phillies and they win 95 games, what does 95 wins get you anymore? Because we are reaching a level of haves and have-nots in baseball where everybody used to try. So now I can't help it. I have to hold you to a higher standard. Plus, it's the fourth year of good baseball, not the first. And there's a difference. If this was 2016 and there was no World Series, then that's different. But when you went to a World Series and then an ALDS and then an ALDS again and you got progressively worse as time went on by the record – people are going to hold you to a high standard. There's no way that you can go against that.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.